You are listening to a sermon recorded in 2006 at the Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
While we have an official Peace Sunday in November, news of current events in Lebanon, Afghanistan, and Iraq constantly remind us there are those who seek to destroy their enemies rather than love them and live peaceably with them. Today is an opportunity to explore themes from the Bible verses in the liturgical calendar, which include such ideas as seeking peace by following Christ and pursuing wisdom by listening to the Holy Spirit. Although it's true that peace is much more than a cessation of hostilities, and peace must begin with a forgiving heart, I think it will be helpful for us to focus on some of the practical examples of peacemakers who emulate Christ by encouraging the nonviolent resolution of conflicts. We'll start out with a responsive reading from your blue hymnal, number 697. 697 at the back of your hymnal. O Prince of Peace, from peace that is no peace, from the grip of all that is evil, from a violent righteousness,
deliver us.
From paralysis of will, from lies and misnaming, from terror of truth,
deliver us.
From hardness of heart, from trading and slaughter, from the worship of death,
deliver us.
By the folly of your gospel, by your choosing our flesh, by your nakedness and pain,
heal us.
By your weeping over the city, by your refusal of the sword, by your facing of horror,
heal us.
By your bursting from the tomb, by your coming in judgment, by your longing for peace,
heal us.
Grant us peace.
Amen.
Someone be able to read Psalm 34.
O fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and covets many days to enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Thank you, Veronica. That last verse reminds me of a motto on a Buddhist temple in my neighborhood in East Vancouver, which says, cease to do evil, endeavor to do good, purify your mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. Devout Buddhists are typically pacifists, but their philosophy is to develop a mental detachment from life's temptations and emotional hindrances. On the other hand, God calls us to seek peace and pursue it by obeying the teachings of Christ, acting on the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and helping others choose to do the same. Many of you may already be familiar with a group that seeks peace called Project Plowshares. Project Plowshares is an ecumenical agency of the Canadian Council of Churches that has worked with churches, governments, and nonprofits since 1987 to develop approaches that promote peaceful resolution of political conflict. The definition of political conflict is sometimes hard to distinguish from criminal violence, because in many cases, armed bands, militias, or factions engage in criminal activity, such as theft, looting, and extortion, in order to fund their political and military campaigns, but also sometimes for the personal enrichment of the leadership or the payment of their fighting forces. These trends are part of the changing character of war. Also consider how the war on terror has redefined our discussions of occupation, insurgency, and terrorism. Although the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq have dominated world headlines, along with the recent conflict in Lebanon, The Plowshares monitors armed conflicts around the world and last year listed 27 of the world's 192 countries as hosting conflicts. That's 14% of the world. Africa especially bears a disproportionate share of the world's fighting, with almost one in four African countries suffering a state of internal war. From that report, an armed conflict is defined as a political conflict in which at least 1,000 people have been killed by the fighting. And it isn't considered over until there have been fewer than 25 combat-related deaths per year, regardless of what peace agreements may have been signed. Project Plowshares gets its name from Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, which reads, "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." So what do all these verses about eating bread like flesh and drinking wine like blood have to do with a peace-themed Sunday? It's not even one of our monthly communion Sundays. Well, I believe that when we accept the grace of God by accepting the sacrifice of Christ, the Holy Spirit is in us like the food and drink we eat, coursing through our veins and giving us the strength to emulate Christ. Later, if you want to, you can debate about what it means that Jesus didn't tell the Roman centurion to give up his job, or what it means for us that Jesus overturned the money changers in the temple. The story that Christian pacifists tend to focus on is when Jesus told Peter to put his sword away after the high priest's servant's ear was cut off. In our time, this past June, the co-founder of Project Plowshares, Ernie Regeer, was honored with the 2006 Canada World Peace Award by the World Federalist Movement of Canada. The World Federalist Movement is headquartered in New York and advocates for more effective and democratically accountable global governance institutions to promote the rule of law in world affairs. Recent campaigns have focused on reforming the UN and the effective startup of the International Criminal Court. In bestowing the award, the president of the WFMC said, quote, "Nations rightly honor their military heroes. The Canada World Peace Award celebrates those courageous individuals who make outstanding contributions to world peace and justice." Ernie was recognized by his peers for, quote, "advancing public education and public policy on issues of war prevention and conflict resolution. For decades, Ernie has been a significant figure in almost every disarmament and peace-building campaign in Canada. He's been a consistent advocate for raising the quality of thoughtful reflection and peace advocacy in Canada and abroad, and an invaluable colleague and mentor to his fellow activists," unquote. Ernie Regeer is a senior policy advisor, has served as an expert on numerous delegations to UN conferences, and is a prolific author of academic papers, parliamentary briefs, and opinion articles. He's also an adjunct associate professor in peace and conflict studies at Conrad Grebel, and a commissioner on the World Council of Churches Commission on International Affairs. The World Council of Churches met in Geneva in September of 2005 to speak out on the issue of small arms and light weapons. The World Council of Churches encourages citizens and authorities to establish good order in a culture of peace by standing in solidarity with all those who suffer the consequences of gun violence or live at risk. The churches of the WCC have long pledged to live without resort to arms. Human security rests in God and in mutual respect among the children of God. The WCC churches have designated the first 10 years of this century as the decade to overcome violence, a goal inseparable from the control of small arms and light weapons. In a world of 640 million firearms that are mostly uncontrolled, small arms and light weapons are used in the majority of the world's deaths by violence, taking about 1,000 lives each day. Their presence fuels conflict, contributes to abuses of human rights, criminal law, and international law, and creates obstacles to development. Weapons dispersed in war also remain available for years afterwards to disrupt peace or derail it. The mere access to firearms is itself a major risk factor for violence, in suicides and in family civil disputes. Supplied mostly from legal trade, the illicit trade in small arms is also widespread, an exercise in underground globalization. Weapons are a commodity traded on the black market to illegal groups. Arms brokers use the existing economy to circumvent arms controls, enabled at times by inept or corrupt officials. Among 8 million firearms manufactured each year, about 300,000 guns are destroyed through small disarmament projects. The world community has the potential to reverse this trend. Change will come as political and corporate authorities and individuals and groups at all levels take responsibility for the economy in small arms. Ernie Regeer in Project Plowshares also contributes to the debate about Canada's role in Afghanistan with his paper called From Good Intentions to Sustainable Solutions, available at the plowshares.ca website. In it, he discusses the recent transfer of command from the security operations in the Kandahar region from the U.S.-led Operation Enduring Freedom to the U.N.-mandated and NATO-led International Security Assistance Force. He characterized the transfer as a switch from pursuing the defense interests of the interveners, which was Enduring Freedom, to the security interests of the host population, which is the mandate of the international force. And he suggests a switch in military focus away from the efforts to seek out and drive insurgents from their strongholds, with civilians inevitably caught in the crossfire, and towards supporting Afghan security forces in areas where the government already has a foothold and seeks to demonstrate the advantages of its legitimacy and authority through an inclusive political process. He pointed out that the Afghan Compact of 2006 from the London conference in January stated as its goal, quote, to overcome the legacy of conflict in Afghanistan by setting conditions for sustainable economic growth and development, strengthening state institutions and civil society, removing remaining terrorist threats, meeting the challenge of counter-narcotics, rebuilding the capacity and infrastructure, reducing poverty, and meeting basic human needs. These are the clearly articulated aims of the Afghan government's action plan for peace, justice, and reconciliation. The challenge of the international forces in Afghanistan is to find ways of effectively supporting the Afghans so that they can go about implementing that plan. Peggy Mason, a former disarmament ambassador for Canada and currently an instructor at the Pearson Peacekeeping Center, adds that for foreign military stabilization forces to be successful, the key players have to want peace more than war. If that is the case, individual spoilers can be effectively isolated and dealt with. But if significant stakeholders believe that peace will leave them indefinitely marginalized, they will prefer war to peace. And the Afghans wrote the book on the futility of trying to militarily defeat determined spoilers who mount armed insurgencies in the case of their resistance to the Soviet Union. Ernie Regeer writes that, quote, conflict resolution, peace building, reconciliation, and humanitarian support are not an alternative strategy. They must, in fact, be regarded as the only strategy. There is only one game in town, only one solution, and that involves attention to the resolution of civil conflicts, the social, economic, and political grievances that are ongoing and obviously predate 2001. Civilian development needs to address economic issues, not the least being the opium trade that sustains much of the economy and much of the opposition to the current government, and other roots of conflict and widespread public grievance. Recall the line from our opening responsive reading, by weeping over the city, by your refusal of the sword, by your facing of horror, heal us, Lord. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much
much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned.